We are in the book of 2 Peter. We have been trying to say some things, preach some things, teach some things out of this book, 2 Peter, if you have your Bibles, or go there, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter is in the New Testament after 1 Peter. And so we began this a couple of weeks ago with a little bit of an interruption last week, and we'll have an interruption next week into our going through this sermon series in 2 Peter. But we're going to stick with it until we come to the end. There's only three chapters, and we're not going verse by verse, but we're drawing out from some of the chapters some things that are said there that I think are pertinent to us, for us right now, for where you're at, where I'm at. In this particular passage, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, have been a part of my life for a long time, that I have lived in this chapter and tried to work in this chapter to see it become a part of my life. Now, what I'll say and what we're going to say as we get into this a little bit more, I'm a work in progress when it comes to this chapter. And you'll understand why in a moment if you haven't already. But this morning I want to continue. And let's begin by reading these 11 verses, okay? Which says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. And so we began by talking about the author of this book, Simon Peter, and how it is not just a coincidence that Peter identifies himself as Simon Peter. Peter is the name, the nickname that Jesus gave him that means rock. And when we look at Peter's life in the Gospels, we see that Peter seems to exhibit a lifestyle of anything but a solid type of character or person. He's kind of up and down. He goes under, sucks water. He denies Jesus three times. But Jesus saw something in Peter. And he sees something of each of us. And he calls that out of us. Inasmuch as he called it out of Simon, when he said to him, oh, your name might be Simon, but I see something in you, Peter. And he does the same in our lives. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. All that we have has been given to us. We have received it. Given to us to be received by us. And notice that he calls the faith precious. Precious. Do you have anything precious in your life? If you do, how do you take care of those things that are precious to you in your life? Precious faith. He says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Again, I like that. Grace and peace, you know, that's God's style. He's extravagant in his giving to us. In his giving of grace and peace, he says, in what? Abundance. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. And so he's always quick. And we know that what centers us, where we find it, you know, where it is, where the life is, you know, where the well of living water is, if you will, is in knowing God, in knowing Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. That's where it's at. Then he says, his divine power. His divine power has given us everything we need for life in godliness. Again, he's quick to say, it's through him who called us by his own glory and goodness, by his own virtue and righteousness. It's who he is, what he has done, that we have everything that's needed, and it's everything that we need has been backed up by a divine power. He says, through these has been given us very great and precious promises. God has made promises to us and he delivers that so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Now, that's big. That's big. And that's where we're going today. We'll talk about it in a moment. But that's big. When he created us, remember, he created us as was his design when he said, let us make them, how? In our image. And so when God made us, he made us like himself. There's something of God in each of us. I have been made in his image, the divine nature. And all that's been given to us is that we might live up to that divine nature, that you might live up to that divine nature, which includes, as he says, an escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. All of the pressure, all of the frustration, all of the mix-up, all of the corruption, all of the evil, all of the sin, all of the degradation, all of it. It's possible for us to live above that. That's amazing. We can live above that. And that's what we're called to as well. That's what he's provided for us, to live above that. Here's the heart of what we're after this morning. He says, for this very reason, make every effort. You see it there? Make every effort. Make every effort to add to your faith. Now, he says, his divine power has given to us everything. And so we get the feel in these first couple of verses that God has done something spectacular for us. God has provided for us what we cannot provide for ourselves. And then he says that you got to respond to that. There's something that you got to do. In response to what God has done, in response to what God has given to you, this is what you must do now. But remember, now it's a response to something that God has done. I'm not pulling myself up by myself effort to get this done. It's something that I'm relying upon him to get done. Very important. Very important. So we speak about this verse, verse 5. Make every effort. You got work to do, Christian. He's saying this is your responsibility. Remember the little thing I said about responsibility? It's my response to his ability. His divine power has given us everything. Here's what my responsibility is, but it's my response to his ability. Okay. And then he says, he lists here in this paragraph seven things. How many things? Seven things to add to your faith. And so we have to understand how it is that when we say faith is not enough. Faith is not enough. How do we mean that? There are things that give our faith a leg to stand on, so to speak. These are those things. He says, add to your faith, complement your faith with goodness or virtue, uprightness, or another good word for it would be integrity. He says, add to your faith integrity. That's the first. The second is, add to integrity knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance add godliness, to godliness add brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, he caps it all off by saying, add what? The seventh is love, agape. And then he says, for if you possess these qualities, if you possess these characteristics, if you possess these things that are demonstrative of the divine nature, this is what God is like, this is what he's made you to be like. If these things, he says, are in your life, if you possess these things, then I like this, in increasing measure. Now, what that says to me is this, in increasing measure. It says to me that I'm in process with these things. I'm a work in what? Progress of these things. Increasing measure. So I'm growing up into these things. He says, if that's so about you, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Everything that God has done for you has become a waste of time. He says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager. And this relates back to verse 5 where he says, make every effort to make your calling and election sure. This is how you get it. This is how you make it all the way. For if you do these things, you will never what? Fall. Man, I like that. If you do these things, you'll never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've often thought on that day when I stand before the Lord, how it will be. And I never want to hear the words, name? Rulowitz. Let's look that up. He flips through the pages, and it's like, is that with an R? Yes, it's with an R. And he, Oh, yes, here it is, way down here on the bottom. Why don't you stand over here for a moment? We can understand, so we make it become clear what we got to do with you. I never want to hear that. But he says here, to avoid that and to have a rich welcome. It's like, hey, Peter says to John, that's Rulowitz coming. Yeah, and everybody gets excited. Let the party begin. He's made it, you know? And a rich welcome. And as much as that sounds, you know, like I'm joking and being a little bit, exaggerating the stuff here, he says here that you do these things and you're going to have a rich welcome into his eternal kingdom. And this is what we're after. This is what we're after. Pray with me. Father, there's your word. I ask now as your servant, the servant of your word, that you would so help me to present what's on my heart in making this word known to your people, that we might be nurtured upon our most holy faith, built up, strengthened where we live. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I want to speak now from verses 5 and following where it says, make every effort. Make every effort to add to your faith. And I want to talk to you about Peter's recipe for never falling. Because he says, remember now, if you do these things, you will what? Never fall. Peter's recipe for never falling is simply add these seven things, add these seven qualities to your life. Add these seven qualities to your life. Here's his recipe for never falling. Add these seven qualities, I should say, to your faith. To your faith. Now, you know, recipes rise or fall, do they not? Those of you who cook and follow recipes, according to how well you follow the instructions and add the ingredients that go into it. And here it is, our faith that he's speaking of, that's been given to us, rises or falls with whether, how well we add, how well you add, Christian, these seven qualities to your faith. And so we've come now to the heart of the passage, of our passage. And what Peter is after in this passage is clearly put before us what he's after. He tells us in the preceding verses that we've received a faith that is precious. And as I mentioned earlier, we take care of what's precious to us. What's precious to us is of value to us, and we take care of it. And he says to us, the faith that we have received is precious. So many words, this is how you take care of it. By adding these things. If you don't, it's just going to be a waste of your time. And that's what he says later in this passage. And it's not going to amount to anything. You're going to let it slip, something precious, slip through your fingers. And so he tells us from experience that without adding these things to our faith, we're vulnerable to a fall with the possibility of never getting up. Because he says you'll become ineffective. Your life will be for nothing. Your faith will amount to nothing unless you do these things. It's one thing to say, yeah, I believe and have faith. It's another thing to have the kind of faith that has these qualities in it. That's what Peter is saying to us. This is what he's getting at. And so he tells us, though, that we've been given a divine power that is available to make possible the reality of these things in our lives. We can't forget that. We can't forget it. Now, amongst God's great and precious promises, as he says here, there's a particular promise of all of them that can be mentioned that I just want to say in passing. And that promise that God has made to you and he has made to me is a big one. And it's seen here in our passage. He says, this one of the great and precious promises is that we would become what God has always intended for us to be, and I could add to do. He calls us to be partakers of, to live like Him, to live up to the nature, God's nature that we have been created in. Now that's a big promise that God is making. His promise is, I'm going to work in your life to transform your life so that you live up to God's divine nature. That's a big promise. And he says, now, on account of that promise, add these things to your faith. And so, I want to ask you, as we are about to mention those seven things quickly, each one of them has a story all of their own. But we'll just mention them briefly. But I want to ask you going into it this question. What kind of effort are you putting into your faith? If you had to give yourself, you know, a grade, if you were to take inventory, search your heart, consider your faith, consider where you're at in your faith. What kind of effort? He says here, to make every effort. What kind of effort am I putting into my faith? See, if my faith is the most precious thing about me, and I believe it is, that my faith is very precious, the promises that God have given to me are very promise, that very promise that I even spoke about this morning, if that's precious to me, then, man, I got to tap into that power to make these things work in my faith. What things? Well, I'm glad you asked. These seven things. And so let's just look at these. Put them under a magnifying glass as we go through these seven things, okay? He says, add to your faith. What kind of work are you putting into adding goodness to your faith? Now, this is a word that we could easily translate, as Peterson does in the Message Bible, as good character. Good character. God bless you, my son. God bless you to your wife. Thank you for listening to her. I'm choking.
Yeah, I love you.
I know. I feel the love. Goodness, which is good character. Good character. And by good character, when you add good character to your faith, man, we're talking about a lot of stuff. And he mentions this one first for a good reason. Integrity. Which I like to think of as do the right thing all the time. Good character. A person of good character does the right thing all the time. So whatever the circumstances, whatever the pressure, that you do the right thing. Have you ever gotten in, you know, gone into the store and leaving the store, and you know, you look at the bill and you look at the change, and you notice that, man, you know what? She gave me back, or he gave me back, you know, $25 too much. You ever had that happen to you? I have. You know, and it's like sitting there, it's like, hallelujah, God had just answered my prayer. He knew I needed that $25 today, you know? Well, if you're going to add good character to your faith, you don't interpret it as a blessing from God. You interpret it as, I need to do the right thing here because I'm of good character and return the $25. You see, and it's about character here. It's about integrity. I had a small business one time, and people, you know, do a lot of work for people, do this or that, and they would say to me, listen, they'd say, I'll tell you what, I'll pay you cash, you know, and they're thinking they're going to, you know, slip something under, you know, and help them out, help me out. And I say to them, you know, with a smile on my face, listen, you know, cash is as good as any kind of way you want to give me money. You know, wonderful. You want to pay me cash? I'll take cash all day long. But I just want you to know that it gets recorded on my taxes. You know, I'm not, you understand what I'm saying? And there's something to that about doing the right thing when it comes to those kinds of things. And so adding integrity to our faith, how essential is that? And now, the way to look at these kinds of things is this. You really don't have faith unless you have these things to go along with it. Okay? And this is big. This is big because so many people boast of faith. And then they don't live like these things. They don't live in accordance with these seven things that Peter is talking about. And I say they don't have faith if they don't have these seven things to go along with it. Now, that's not to say, as I said earlier, that we're not growing up into these things. You know, and that I need to grow, you know, in this area, in that area. I'm not talking about the process of growth. Some people I just want to slap. And see, I need more brotherly kindness in my life. When they talk about all the kinds of faith they have, and then they talk about, and they have an integrity issue in their life. Craziness. Okay, the next one is knowledge. Listen, how can you put the Bible into practice if you don't know what the Bible says? Knowledge. Did you think about that for a moment? That he says to us that you really don't have faith unless you have knowledge in your life. Now, I think we could talk about knowledge in so many different areas. In fact, Peterson, in his Message Bible, calls it spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. And I like that. And to say, you know, to call knowledge here, have spiritual understanding. In fact, we read many of the epistles in Colossians in particular. When Paul prays for the Colossians in Colossians chapter 1, he prays for them that God would give them spiritual understanding. And how it is that, you know, we grow and intuitively we grow and we gain understanding of how things work and how life works, all of these things, or particular areas and disciplines of study and of careers and professions. And all of that, in my opinion, is secondary, a far second, to the spiritual understanding that we need to add to our faith. Spiritual understanding. See, what's happening in the unseen realm, God's unseen realm? What's going on there? How do I understand those things? And once again, bringing it back to Bible knowledge, I mean, I think that's the simplest way to understand what we add to our faith, because faith works how? Faith works by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? A word from God. And man, you ain't going to get a word from God unless you get this word of God into you. And there's no easy way to get this word into you. Except by what? Make every effort to get into this book. Make every effort for this book to get into you. Turn the TV off. You know, whatever. Find a quiet place. You know, I know when the kids are down, they say, oh, go to your place, open this book, you know, and get into it. You say, I don't understand what I read. Consider what is being written here, and God will help you and give you understanding, knowledge. The next one is self-control. Oh, boy, self-control. You know, self-discipline. You know, everybody who likes self-discipline, please raise your hand. You know, it's like you're kidding, right? Self-discipline. How essential it is to add to our faith self-discipline. Discipline of our time, how we use our time. What are some of them? Discipline with our money. Discipline in relationships with other people, from coworkers to friends and everybody in between, family. Discipline, self-control in our wants, what I want. I mean, that's big. That we could get stuck right there. Our desires, our physical appearance, food, discipline in our food, housework, discipline at work, discipline with work. And the last one I'll mention, everybody's favorite, discipline with our mouths. The tongue. You want to, you know, you want someone to know you have self-control? Prove it by the way in which you use your mouth. Come on. Come. I know I'm talking to the right people. You talk about exercising self-control. And Peter says, Simon Peter says, if you don't add that to your faith, you're going down. Your life's not going to be very fruitful, let alone effective. Yeah. Self-control. What's the next one? Huh? What's the next one? Everybody's all-time favorite. Patience. Perseverance. I love this word in the Greek for perseverance here. Hupomene is the word. And it's a word that means to hold out, to hold up under, even though the load is really heavy. So the idea is, you know, when you're under pressure, you don't blow. Wow. That's the word here, perseverance. Now, you know, this is where my work in progress is like, you know, it's like There's 1,500 steps. I'm on like step number one with this one. Come on. Anybody else with me? Perseverance. That when you're under pressure, you don't blow. It takes an awful lot for you to blow. You know? That's what this word means. That's what this kind of perseverance means. It means, man, that you're able to navigate through when things get gnarly, when things are, you know, hemming you in. When there's obstacles and you're confronted with this situation and that kind of thing, man, you are able to abide under all, to remain through that whole thing. You know, it doesn't put you down. You stick with it, and you don't lose it. And you know what I mean, you know, and those two triplets. You stick with it, and you don't lose it. You see, when you stop sticking with it, usually it's because you've lost it, right? That's it. And that's the opposite of this word here. And Simon Peter says, you got to add that to your faith. You got to add it to your faith. That you don't give up easily. Whatever it is that you've set yourself to doing. And doesn't faith require that kind of thing? You know? Look at all the obstacles that come against us. With all of these virtues, all these qualities that he's mentioning to us, that man, if I have faith, I'm going to prove it by the faith. I'm going to believe God through this thing. I'm going to believe God through it. Wow. I'm not going to give up easily. You all know my famous poem, right? Plod on. Have I said my poem here? Plod on poem? It's won awards, international awards. It's been spoken internationally, this poem. The poem is called Plod On, and it goes like this. Plod on, plod on, plod on, plod on. Plod on, plod on, plod on, plod on. Plod on, plod on, plod on, plod on, plod on. Second stanza goes like this. Plod on, plod on, plod on, plod on. Plod on, plod on, plod on. Plod on, plod on, plod on, plod on. Plod on, plod on. The third stanza, you care to hear it?
No.
There's a whole bunch of stanzas to this poem. I mean, there are. And I mean, it just, you know, plod on. Plod on. Oh, you're welcome. Perseverance. You know, perseverance. The next, are we having fun yet? The next one is, they get better, is godliness. Now, this word here, godliness, that he says to add to our faith is, you know, at first glance, but if you understand the image into which you have been made and I have been made, you see that it's all there. That I am to act like God. That's what godliness means. I act like God. In that I've been made in his image, it's only natural that I should what? The apple should not far fall from the tree, right? But we know what happened under that tree. So there's problems getting back there. But nevertheless, he says, add to your faith what? Godliness. Godliness, that I act like God. I just want to give you two ways in which we act like God, and they're big. The first is, I think that we act most like God when we forgive someone. And that, you know, so much can be said about that. But when Jesus forgave me, he suffered in forgiving me. And isn't that what we resist when we're called upon to forgive someone? I don't want to suffer of what it will take to forgive them. I'm telling you. I know what I'm talking about. Got to swallow my pride. I got to give them something. I want to give them something. You know, my fist is clenched. We act most like God when we forgive. The second thing, how it is that I act like God is this. And I think it's just as big as forgiving. And that is being loyal. There's no one more loyal than God. No one more loyal. The things that I have done in my own life that I thought would push him away from me has only made him more fierce in his love for me. Did you hear what I said to you? But this whole thing of loyalty has come unraveled in our society more and more. Unraveled. Loyalty. How I want people to be loyal to me. In friendships. I want people to be loyal to our church because it's where God put them. It's where God put them. I want people to be, spouses to be loyal to one another because they said, I will. And I know stuff happens to unravel loyalty, but it should be difficult. Be difficult. One of the most underrated Bible characters, I think, is Jonathan. You hear of Jonathan in the Bible? Saul's son Jonathan became a very close friend to David. One of the most underrated Bible characters. I want to be loyal like Jonathan was loyal. How so? Jonathan became friends with David, and there was a love there in their friendship that was incredible. And when you consider that Jonathan knew that though he stood next in line to become king, Jonathan, the nod was going to who? His best friend, David. Holy cow. That Jonathan knew his lot was to play what? What chair? Second fiddle. And yet, you never once get a smack of there's some jealousy with Jonathan going on here. You never once get this idea of, in fact, just the opposite. Just the opposite that goes on with this man. But this gets deeper here. Watch. Watch this. Jonathan sees that the nod is going to David at the expense of his father's demise that was brought on by King Saul himself. Okay? And yet, when King Saul died, guess who was by his side? His son Jonathan was by his father's side. Jonathan remained loyal to his father, though he saw the problems and the troubles within his own father's life. And though he saw all that David was to become, he never once worked to divide the kingdom or divide himself from loyalty to his father. Did Jonathan have his father's number? Oh yeah, he said to his father plain out, "You've brought trouble on our nation." But he never was disloyal to his father. That's big. Something to be said for loyalty. In friendships, how many friendships are broken up? You know, people come, I don't get it. How can you become disloyal? What we've gone through, what we've done. And now you're going to allow this to separate us? Okay, enough on that one because I got to fly. The last two, done quickly, and I'm done. Brotherly kindness, simply, for heaven's sakes, be friendly. Friendliness, you know? Take an interest in other people. Friendliness. Brotherly kindness is the word that we get, you know, Philadelphia from, right? For heaven's sake, visit Philadelphia once in a while in your relationships with other people. Philadelphia, for crying out loud. Be friendly. Show some friendliness. Take an interest in other people. Last one, love. Add love. And this was tough for me to put into words to try and convey what I wanted to convey this morning. God, what is it? And the way in which I can say it, love, when he says, add love to your faith. You know, love is big, isn't it? Love is big. I go to 1 Peter 4 and 8. 1 Peter 4, 8, where he says this. He says, above all, he says, love each other deeply. Love each other deeply. Then he says, because love covers a multitude of sins. Now watch where I'm going with this. Watch where I go with this. If you hang around with people long enough, you discover that they have faults and messes in their lives. And the trick will be to love them in their faults and with their messes. That's how love covers a multitude of sins. That's how it covers. Yeah. This is not excusing. This is not sweeping under the carpet. You understand? Things that are wrong in our lives and other people's lives, no. But it's covering it. Like Jesus covered the woman who was brought to him in the very, taken from the very act of being at someone's house committing adultery. Brought her before Jesus, and Jesus covered her. Covered her in her sin. Because that's what love does. And boy, I'll tell you what, when, you know, come to my house within 5 minutes, you will see the many faults in Sandra's life. I'm telling you, you will. You know? And aren't we all works in progress? You say, how do I love that guy with that kind of nonsense? Cover it. You know? Don't tell somebody else, you know, oh, we love to do that, you know. Because we put other people down, we put ourselves up. You know? We see something mess in somebody else's life, a fault in somebody else's life, and instead of covering them in it, we tell somebody else about it. You know? But he says, that's not faith. And you're going to take a fall if you don't add love to your faith. Let's stand together in Jesus' name. Come on. Somebody say, Bob, that was good preaching today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Throw money. Come on. So why do you think that was good, Bob? This is where I live. 2 Peter chapter 1. Bob, add these things to your faith. You want to know what one of my prayers is? I'll recommend it to you. Lord, please be patient with me. Let's pray. And so, Jesus, I commit these things once again to your people, to all of us. You see where we live, Lord God. And I pray by that divine power that you will help us this week, different situations of our lives and the relationships that we have, the things that we face in our thoughts, in the way in which we feel, that you will help us to add to our precious faith these virtues. In Christ's name, go in peace. God bless you.